Today, I just want to talk about something that came up in yesterday's parsha. I think it's important to think about in the context of course, in general, and what we're experiencing. One of the many Yisurim described, and I'll try to share a screen here, one of the many Yisurim described in Parshas Kedoshim is the Yisur of Lo Tenachashu. The Yisur of Lo Tenachashu is, let me see if I could find it here, Yisivatakum, Mishmartem, Yididonim, here it is, Tetanavos, Yisivatakum. Can't seem to find it right now. Which parak is it in? I'll find the next pasuk. Wait, Jerusalem. I'll find the pasuk so you can all see the Yisr. Sorry. Tenachashu. Not Tenachashu. Okay, here's the pasuk. Okay, I missed it. Okay, here's the pasuk. I'm going to share it on the screen. Lo Tenachashu means you're not allowed to use omens as portents to determine your behavior. So, for example, the Gemara says, if you see a deer suddenly crossing your path, say, oh, what am I supposed to infer from the fact that a deer crossed my path? Must be it's a good day for a business venture. Or I was eating bread and the bread fell out of my mouth. Must be a bad day. Or the stick in front of me broke. It must be to try to interpret the future based on presumably random events. So what's the Isra of Lo Tenachashu? Why is it forbidden? So, I think from many Rishonim, and that's certainly the context of both Parshas Kedoshim and Parshas Re'eh, where it appears, it's because these were all parts of the world of Avodah Zarah. So if you take a look at the context that I'm highlighting for you, a lot of Avodah Zarah practices that are forbidden because they're about to come into the land. Remember, in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, their entry into the land is described in the first mitzvah they'll encounter is planting trees in the Isra of Arla, not eating the first 3 years of fruits. But when you enter the land, you're also going to encounter foreign cultures, pagan cultures. They would drink blood. They would be involved in necromancy and sorcery and wizardry, lo sonenu. They would shave off their peos. Certain monks had a practice to shave their heads in a certain way. They would put, they would scratch their bodies either for signs of mourning or to tattoo their bodies. They would abuse the purity of the body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. If you take a look in Parshas Re'eh, it's in Parshas Shoftim, excuse me, it's even more apparent there that the prohibition is Avodah Zarah. You don't want to be involved in that world. And I would say it's not just the association with the world of paganism, but it's also these are traits that aren't dignified, black magic, voodoo, necromancy, potions, witchcraft. We've all seen pictures, read stories, watched movies. I never really watched any of these movies. Game of Thrones, I've heard, is a movie that talks a lot about that whole world. You probably have seen some episodes or have heard about it. So it's just not a world that a Jewish person should be part of. Part of being an Oved Hashem is to see yourself as Mamlechas Kohanim V'Gai Kadosh and to conduct yourself with dignity and Selam Elokim. And it's not just that you're tethering yourself to the world of Avodah Zarah, but you're tethering yourself to an underworld of darkness and magic. And it's not the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to inhabit. So I think the first reason that Lo Tenachashu is problematic, portends and omens, is because it's part of what we call magic, kishuf, seeking the dead, sorcery, necromancy, involved with the dead, involved with black magic. The two other reasons, and I'm just quoting Rishonim here, is first of all because it can shade your sense of the future. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen tomorrow is a product of the decisions you make today. And too much of a obsession with trying to predict the future can enfeeble the authorship and the control you really have on that future. So the question of what your resources are invested in. What will happen tomorrow is a product of what decisions you make today. And of course, everyone else's decisions. So there may be some information available, but what do you spend your time and your resources? What do you invest in? Trying to intuit and to discover that future or trying to build a future with your efforts, with your decisions, with your actions? So obviously, and Jews have Nevuah available, but Nevuah is for the broad strokes. What will happen to the Jewish people? What will happen? Miracles, disasters. But in terms of your own life, business decisions, marriages, medical choices, Not the larger questions, right? There's always a very intriguing philosophical question. If everything's predetermined and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is determining the shape of human events and the shape of history, because Judaism does not believe that history is open-ended, there is a terminus, there is an endpoint. So what about my freedom of choice? So part of the answer to that question is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is determining the large endpoints, Mashiach, Eretz Yisrael, Tchiyas HaMeisim, punishing the wicked, but there are literally trillions of different flowcharts to get to those endpoints, and a trillion or unlimited, and you decide which route is taken. So the endpoint is going to be fairly identical, but there's so many different ways, and they don't just differ by the routes they take, but the caliber of the experience, how much suffering will we have until Mashiach comes? Will it be an easier route or more difficult route? So your decisions really are impactful, although Mashiach's still going to come and Eretz Yisrael will still be the final return to of all humanity. But you can determine the fabric and the quality of those eventualities. So the same thing here. There is a future tomorrow in a broad sense, but there's so many ways that future can be determined. And of course, there's a general future, but not the specific future, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to enfeeble ourselves. He wants us to empower ourselves. So lo tenachashu is too much of an obsession with tomorrow can lead to a enfeebling sense of bechir chavshus in the present. I think many people are talking today a lot, especially in the wake of the coronavirus crisis and decisions that were made by certain rabbanim. So it's a lot of people to think about. Do we believe in Das Torah? Now, Das Torah doesn't means as follows. We obviously consult directly with poskim greater than ourselves when it comes to a psak halacha. You don't just open up a Shulchan Aruch and arrive at your own psak. So you go to a rav who has more knowledge and more experience, and that psak is binding. There's no two ways about it. You can decide which rav is your rav, but and you don't want to just all shop around based on the particular question, based on what you anticipate the rav will tell you. But in the world of halachic information, a psak is binding. A psak is absolute. And certainly in the world of Torah information and in a broader sense, morality, moral decisions that have a moral tinge to them, you don't want to make your own decisions. You don't want to be your own moral self-arbitrator. You want to consult with Torah voices and hear how they would view these moral questions. But what about decisions which are amoral? They're not moral at all, not immoral, but amoral. Namely, which house to purchase, which woman to marry, whether to conduct a medical procedure, whether to go on a business venture. Those don't have moral elements to them. Maybe marriage has some moral elements to it if you have a moral question about a particular shidduch, a particular family. But let's completely strip all morality. Should I purchase this house or that house? They're both the same distance from the shul. They both offer chavrus opportunities. Both neighbors are tzaddikim. So there's no moral question whatsoever. It's a purely a real estate decision or a stylist decision. Which style I like better? Which style of house should I consult with a person of Torah information? Many people feel today that you should, and that isn't the way I was trained. And one of the challenges of following that approach, if you believe in that approach, is well, then what room is there left for human decision? If every single decision is impacted by rabbinic authority, so halachic decisions clearly are, moral decisions clearly are. So then, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed with Bechira Chavshus? So I think many people would say, well, that's my Bechira Chavshus, to suspend my Bechira Chavshus for people of greater knowledge, of greater Torah information, who have access not just to Torah Pesach, but have access to wisdoms and ideas that I don't have access to. I think that's the way many people would answer it. I wasn't raised that way. And it's a chance to remind ourselves of the importance of Bechira Chavshus, that Hashem empowered us to make decisions. And too much of a concern with tomorrow's eventuality can steal resources away from those decisions and making bold decisions and important decisions and decisions of value. And not only can they steal resources, but it can also create a sense of feebleness rather than empowerment. So the first concern of Lo Tanach, I'm giving a generalization, is you don't want to be associated with that world. What world? The world of paganism, the world of idolatry, the world of black magic, the world of necromancy, of sorcery, of darkness, of lack of dignity, lack of uprightness, ration, reasons. The second issue is that you want to stress making correct choices rather than worrying about tomorrow's realities that may or may not be predetermined, but certainly your choices will affect them in many significant ways. There is no future. And the third issue is based on a Ramban, is again, when you're so worried about tomorrow and you're looking at the deer and you're looking at the sticks and you're looking at the winds and you're looking at the consulting with the dead and trying to get information, at some point it becomes a deficiency of bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At some point, over-obsession, panic, over-concern, trying to find every which way to determine the future, there are different levels that everyone brings towards bitachon versus hishtadlus, obviously. but too much of an obsession, not just of investment. Obviously, too much investment can reflect lack of bitachon, but too much of an obsession with trying to discover what will happen tomorrow. A person of faith and of trust just believes that there is providence in this world and there is cause and effect. Sometimes it's hard for us to discern it and make the right choices. Have faith in your heart, believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, correct yourself when it's necessary, rather than trying to obsessively determine what outcome will happen. It's too much of a controlling attitude and a controlling perspective, and doesn't leave enough room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are the three reasons, primarily, that the Torah does not want us consulting with omens. Now, of course, there are certain decisions that we make that are not arbitrary, based on arbitrary science. So, for example, when Eliezer travels to Aram Naharaim to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he says, well, the woman that offers me water, she's the one. Well, why isn't that an omen? Because it's not arbitrary, because he's trying to find a woman of chesed, and that's the trait he's looking for. So the woman that produces chesed or performs chesed is obviously, she's the best candidate. She's won the contest because she has not. If you would have said the woman that wears a blue dress instead of a green dress today, that would have been arbitrary, unless there's some difference between the colors he can discern. But he says the woman that will freely offer water to myself and to my camels, she's obviously of higher caliber and higher quality, and I want her for Yitzchak. So there are certain actions we take that are not arbitrary. The issur is arbitrary. I'm going to toss something into the garbage. If I hit it, you know, if I make the basket, it's a good day. I'm going to go and start the following adventure. If I don't, if my team wins, these are completely unrelated to the decisions you're taking. Hashem does not want us to draw close to that world. Hashem does not want us to. Freedom of choice is very hard. It's very taxing, right? If any one of you think for a second, you're a minute away from killing your brother or your sister, right? Literally, right? You've been with them for 7 weeks, right? You can run and take a knife. You can do it. So the freedom of choice is very, very worrisome. It's why people sometimes like to have their freedom of choice taken. When you live in prison, when you live as a prisoner, people sometimes leave prison, have a hard time adjusting to a life of freedom because it's very, very challenging. Sometimes people don't like to start projects because the fear of failure. I'd rather not start a project so I don't have to face the specter of failure. I didn't start the project. I didn't enter the relationship. I can't be blamed for failing. So the freedom carries with it a very, very heavy price tag emotionally, psychologically. But Hashem doesn't want us running away from that. It's easier to say, oh, sometimes, you know, when you have a hard choice to make, you want someone to make it for you, or you want some factor to make it for you, which yeshiva to attend, which cantor. You're always looking. And the best advice that an adult can give you is, no, face the decision, make the decision. At a certain point in life, you have to learn how to make decisions. And if not, you'll be paralyzed by paralysis by overanalysis, because you're always looking for that factor that will make the decision for you. Stop. These are the factors. Make the decision. It's part of growing up. It's part of transitioning into an adult, learning how to make decisions. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, but worse than the wrong decision is the inability to render decisions. So Hashem wants you to render decisions freely, make those choices wisely, not to look for the signs and the omens and the helpers to make the decision for me. And then finally, that there's a degree of trust. You just have to let go and make decisions, and you don't know what tomorrow will bring, but live with uncertainty. And faith allows us to live with uncertainty without it rattling us, without it destabilizing our experience. So those are the three reasons. Obviously, very few of us are involved in the Isser of Lo Tenachashu, but I hope that these are traits that we can work on and try to improve that are behind the prohibition of Lo Tenachashu. Okay, have a good week, everyone. I strongly recommend you listen to the video I put out, 2 minute video on Twitter or Facebook, or the Divrei Chizuk that I sent to whoever signed up, because it's an important concept about managing your time during this endless, endless weeks become months, months become to find a way to segment our time properly. See you all tomorrow. Have a good day, everyone.